Thank you so much. That was a blessing. We really appreciated that, enjoyed it, blessed, touched by your presence. I owe more to Moon's Chapel than some of you know. When I went to Brush Creek as pastor, I was 23 years old, and what I knew about being a pastor, you could put in a thimble and still get your finger in it. And you had an old preacher named Garland Bordeaux. He was about in his 40s, I guess, so that was old when you're 23. Anybody over 40 is old. And Garland took me under his wing and took me to various places. He and Max Reese from down at Oakley and Ernest Howell from Loves Creek. And we went to a lot of places, and I sat in the back seat of the car and learned from those guys just tremendous amount. And I've just always been blessed by Garland. And I told him before he died, I told him how much I appreciated what he'd done for me. Patrick and I have been debating over whether I need to tell a tale on him or not.
Tomorrow
night
will be better. Because
Tomorrow night.
I have to live with these folks.
Okay, the folks from down there know how it is at Brush Creek. You drive up a long driveway to get to the church. And the cemetery on the right-hand side of the road, the driveway, is white. Cemetery on the other side of the road is black. And that's the way the land was given in 1858 or thereabouts. It's a long driveway. Well, when Patrick was pastor there, one day he gets a phone call from a funeral director, I think in Winston-Salem, that said,
J.C. Bray.
Huh?
J.C. Bray.
Well, would you be willing to do a funeral service graveside this Sunday afternoon for a black lady? Patrick, you know, be glad to. So at the appointed time, they show up. And J.C. Bray's there with the Smith-Buckner Funeral Home, and then, of course, the folks from the other funeral home that brought the lady in. And Brush Creek, they were having a baby shower or something at the church, and a family reunion across the road at the recreation area. And so Mama's request was that she be in the ground. Now, not covered up, but actually in the grave when he did the thing. So, nice daughter shows up, and she's brought somebody to sing, and Patrick's there. And so, about that time, the lady stands up to sing, and another daughter shows up. I want to see my mama. I want to see my mama. And she starts pitching such a fit. And finally, the lady that was going to sing just sat down. And so they motioned for Patrick to do his thing. So he gets up there, and you know, they have the little stand. He gets up there. The lady's still screaming, I want to see my mom. She grabs Patrick's Bible and throws it down in the woods. I want to see my mama. Well, then she jumps in the grave on top of the casket. I want to see my mama. The funeral director says, listen, Mama's laid up here in my funeral home for 2 weeks. You didn't come to see her. My understanding, it's been years since you've been to see Mama. Now it's too late. Well, she's jumping up and down on that casket. I want to see my mama. So they say to Patrick, if you'll just sign a paper, we'll call the sheriff. And Patrick said, hey, this isn't my cemetery. So they called Lewis Phillips, I believe that was his name. He was a black deputy, and he was over that particular cemetery. So he comes up there, he signs the paper. In the meantime, all of those people up there at that shower, out on the porch of the church, said, what's going on down there? All the people at the family reunion are out at the road looking, what's going on up there in that crazy mess? And people with scanners are hearing, sheriff called to Brush Creek Cemetery. And some of them may be driving up to see what's going on. And finally they haul the lady off, and Patrick says, he said to the nice daughter, You just drive around for about an hour and let everything calm down and then come back and we'll do the service. And you did, right? So the next time he went by Smith and Buckner Funeral Home, they said, we don't want to do any more funerals than you. or something to that effect. But anyway, he's an equal opportunity employer. He's my buddy. Love him. Loved him for years. And we look forward to hearing him preach. Now that I've got you laughing, we need to stop and pray. Father, thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Thank you that we can laugh about certain things and just remember that life has its strange twists and turns. And the fact that you brought Patrick and myself together and people at Moon's Chapel and myself and Brush Creek all together in so many different ways, only you could have done that, and we thank you for it. Thank you for safety as folks have traveled over here tonight. We pray for safety as they go home. Lord, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. Now we pray for great anointing upon Brother Patrick as he comes to preach. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our daily lives. You know what we need to hear. And Lord, we want to hear not from Patrick, but from the throne room of heaven. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and a will to obey. May you receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ed, for letting our folks know about that story. That the folks at Smith and Buckner still remind me about every time I go to the funeral home. And I hate to say this, but the lady that was jumping on the casket is neighbors with Ricky and Jerry Ellington. And so I don't know if y'all know who she is, but she is your neighbor. And every time I cut down 421, the back way to the church there, and I ride by her house, I think about all that she put me through that day. But anyway, so y'all watch out for your neighbor. But I want to say to you tonight, this is my buddy Will. And Will is a member here. Will, you stand up. I want our folks to see you.
Hi, everybody.
And Will is my helper this week. He greeted me when I arrived at 8 o'clock this morning to give my testimony in the men's breakfast here for Baptist Men's Day. And he asked me if he could be my helper. And so he's helping me this week. And we are going to... hopefully we'll bring him to Moon's Chapel to help us sometime. So we're looking forward to that, but I wanted you to know him. I want to say to those of you that came from Moon's Chapel, I realize that many of you drive 30 minutes, an hour, even further to work tomorrow morning, and I appreciate you taking time to be here tonight. And I am so grateful for our choir and other members that are here. I love them. I was telling a friend of mine in Alabama yesterday, he called me after Duke lost the ball game, and he said, I just wanted to see if you were watching that. I said, yes, I was watching it. So he called to harass me a little bit, and he said, so how's your church? And I said, you know, I have never enjoyed church as much as I have the last 2 years. I love my church, and I'm thankful for my choir. This choir, they're not mine. I love them. They're God's, but I'm just thankful for them, and I'm thankful for how God has woven our lives together. And for those of you from Barbie's Grove that came to invest in us in November, there are no words, and there's nothing we could do to thank you enough for what you have done. As of today, since December 1st, we've had 16 new members, 9 salvations, and 6 baptisms in the last 2 months in our church. And they had 4 this morning, and I wasn't even there. Isn't that good? You know what that lets me know? Because I wasn't even there, it's not about a man. It's about God. And when God's in it, God takes over. This morning at the men's breakfast, before I haven't started preaching yet, I just want to talk to you a little bit. Two men told me, they said, would you pray for us because we're so discouraged. We're without a pastor. Our numbers are low. Here we are, all the young people go to college, move off, and never come back. I want you to know that Moon's Chapel was where you are. And we have seen God do a miracle. And I don't want you to be discouraged. You hang on. You stay focused. You stay faithful. The Spirit is in this church. I can feel it. Can't y'all feel it? I can feel a sweet spirit here. You had a sweet spirit this morning. And I believe God is going to do something mighty at Barbie's Grove. So my prayer is over the next four services that we have together tonight through this week, that God would just spark something within you to say, what is it that God wants me to do for my church? There are things that God wants me to do for the church I'm a part of, and God wants our folks to do for the church they're a part of, and there's things God wants you to do right here. And so you pray and ask God to open your heart, and together let's just watch what God desires to do. If you would take your Bible and turn with me tonight to James chapter 1. I want to look tonight at James chapter 1, verse 2 through verse 4. Three very important verses of Scripture that I believe are meant for us tonight. It seems like all week long I've received phone call after phone call, text message after text message about people that are living in trial. People that are going through trial by way of tragic death, by way of things going on in the lives of their children, by things that they're dealing with in their workplace or in their families. And trials often consume us. They often weigh us down. They often allow us to experience a valley in our spiritual lives. But tonight, I want you to look with me at James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, and I want you to notice four wonderful gifts that God gives us when we are in trial. So would you read along as I read aloud, beginning in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, in this life, we are not immune to problems. We are not immune to sickness. We are not immune to death. We are not immune to trials and tribulations. We know that every great man and lady in the Bible are all people that were overcomers, people that overcame some of the greatest and some of the most difficult trials in all of history. So you and I cannot expect, and we cannot be guaranteed, that we will not have trials in our life. But oh, when that trial comes, when that tribulation comes, when that season of valley begins to flow, God wants you and I to experience the gift of joy. Look at what the Bible says. My brethren, that's talking to the church, the believer, the Christian, the child of God, count it all joy. You see, there is joy in the midst of trial. I don't know how many of you have been watching the terrible story about the United States gymnastics team unfold this week, but late Friday night, we were watching the news program 2020 on television as they were sharing the story about all of the abuse that these young girls experienced year after year after year. And all of these young women were giving testimonies about how horrible and how difficult it was. But then one lady began to speak, and she began to share about the grace of God. She began to talk about how God has given her grace, grace to forgive, grace to move on. And as all of the others were bringing ridicule and shame on the one that caused them such pain, she offered forgiveness. And there we were in our family room. And my daughter looked at me and she said, "How is she able to do that?" And I said, "Honey, it is only the power of God that would allow a person to get to that place in which they would be able to forgive an individual that hurt them in that way." You see, when you and I are in trial or tribulation or hardship or difficulty, it is very easy for us to get bitter, isn't it? Has anybody here ever been bitter? Have you ever been upset about something? Have you ever had any hatred in your heart? Have you ever had a contrite spirit? If we're all honest, we've all been there, amen? If we're all honest, those seasons have come in our lives. But the Bible says, count it all joy. God wants to bring us to a place of joy. Joy in the midst of trial. And do you know what joy is? Joy is the emotion of being able to praise God no matter what your circumstance may be. Therefore, we are to sing to the Lord when it is raining and when the sun is shining. We are to give praise to the Lord when things are great and when things are not so good. And so if we are going to have an emotion inside of our soul that brings forth and springs forth within our mind the opportunity and the blessing to praise God, we will have the gift of joy. And I don't want anything or anybody to steal my joy. I hope you don't want anybody to steal your joy, because joy is God's gift to the Christian. So no matter who you are or what is going on in your life, remember, in trial, in valley, there is the gift of joy. But there's a second gift that the Bible teaches us about in verse number 3. And that is the gift of faith. Look at what it says. Knowing that the testing of your faith. You see, when we are in trial, our faith is tested. Last summer, our entire family went on vacation. You see, this was very, very important for us, because it's the first time since my father died that we had all been together. But it wasn't only that side of the family, it was another side of the family. And I don't know about y'all, but when all those people get together, it can be chaos. And we won't be doing that anymore at the Fuller House, I can promise you that. This summer, our vacation is going to be 6 people, and that is it. We've already made that very clear. But we go off on this little vacation, and everything was fine the first day. It was all right the second day. It was tense the third day. And on day 4, I mean, all of everything broke loose. And I began to think within my soul, here we are, away from home. We have more children than anybody. They don't have a clue what we went through to get here. And I could feel my faith being tested. I could feel the strain in my spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, during my quiet time that 5th and final day, revealed to me, the devil is trying to steal your faith. You need to hold your head up high. You need to stay strong. Stay focused on me. And I will get you through this. You see, when you and I are in trial, our faith is tested. Because sometimes if our faith is not intact, our mouth will allow things to come out that really don't need to come out. Amen? Sometimes when our faith is tested, our actions will go about in ways that we will later regret. But when God gives us the gift of faith, that faith anchors us, it holds us, it consumes us, it controls us, much like it did for me that day in that cemetery many years ago. So when we go through trial, remember, God gives the gift of joy, but he also gives the gift of faith. And that faith anchors you down and keeps you focused and gives you a spiritual laser to keep your eyes on Jesus. You see, the Bible says, and the Bible tells us very clearly, knowing that the testing of your faith, the Word of God says, yes, we will be tested. Yes, we will be tried. Yes, we will have tense moments in this life. But in the midst of it, God brings us the gift of joy and the gift of faith. But third, he brings us the gift of patience. Because it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be very patient. Do you? Because when we are patient, we have to learn to wait. Last night I was trying to cook spaghetti. And I've got a Chinese young man that every Saturday he decides he wants to cook ribs. And so I had gone to make a visit to a church member, and I come back about 3 hours later, and I've got in my mind that I'm going to make spaghetti right then. But I walk in the kitchen, and I mean he has it strode from one end to the other. It took me an hour to clean it before I could begin to prepare the meal, which meant everything backed up an hour. And that caused me to have to learn patience. Patience is hard. Patience is difficult. Patience produces endurance, but patience is necessary because we live in a society in which we want everything right now, but God wants to teach us to rely on him, to lean on him, to allow him to work in our lives through the gift of patience. So rather than seeing patience as a negative thing, God wants us to turn it around and see it as a positive gift. You see, he gives us the gift of joy. He gives us the gift of faith. He gives us the gift of patience. But fourth, he gives us the gift of growth. Look at what the Bible says. It says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. I'm far from perfect. Far from complete. You're far from perfect. You're far from complete. But one day, praise God, when we go to meet Jesus, when we are there presented before him, before the Father there in heaven, we will once and for all be perfect and be complete for the first time because of the growth that has occurred in our lives. And that is what God wants us to see. He wants us to see that when trials come our way, we can experience the gift of joy, the gift of faith, the gift of patience, and the gift of growth. So ask yourself tonight, what is it that you're facing? What is it that is a giant in front of you? What is it that you need God to do? What is it that you need God to move so you can be closer to Him? And as you think about whatever it is, ask God tonight, God, in the midst of it, give me joy. In the midst of it, give me faith. In the midst of it, give me patience. And in the midst of it, grow me and stretch me so that I can be closer to you. And when we allow joy to come in, when we allow faith to take over, when we rely on patience in such a way that we are able to grow spiritually, revival, renewal will break out. A senior adult in our church told me after y'all came for our lay revival in November, the weekend before Thanksgiving, she said, I've been a member of this church for almost 60 years. And I've prayed for years and years and years for God to do what He's answering now. And I've often thought, what if she had given up? What if she had quit praying? What if she'd left? What if she had not stayed consistent? Our lives would not have been blessed like they've been. So I say that to you tonight because somebody's depending on you. Somebody's counting on you. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs your prayers. They need your faith. They need your consistency. They need your testimony. They need your model. They need your example. So stay strong and let revival come within and spring forth so joy can radiate, so faith can bring you to a place of peace. So patience can control you. And so you will grow and say, I'm so glad God took me on the journey. Because in the end, it is worth it all. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for our friends tonight. Those from Barbie's Grove and those from Moon's Chapel. And Lord, I know that every person that is in this place tonight has something in their life that no one else may even know about. Something in their work, something in their family, something in their community, something in their personal walk, whatever it may be, that may be the devil's giant in front of them. And Lord, I pray tonight that in these moments of invitation, that there in our seat or here at this altar, you would just begin to go before us, stir us, encourage us, so that we can be people of joy, faith, patience, and growth. Lord, help us lay it down tonight. And help us be a bridge, a spiritual bridge, to the mountain you desire to allow us to go on after going through the valley. Lord, would you work and bring revival in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I said this afternoon in a funeral service, Friday morning, the lady that was memorialized today got up to go to work. She worked 8 hours on Thursday. She got up to go to work thinking Friday was a normal day. If you don't know Jesus, I don't care how long you've been a member of a church. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. I beg you, do not leave here tonight until you know. If you doubt, you come talk to your pastor or me, and let's work through that season of doubt so that you can get to a place of assurance, knowing that your soul is secure. Because when you doubt your salvation, that is the devil's trap trying to steal your joy. So tonight, if you need to be saved, you come. Lose your pride. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Just get things right with Jesus. But maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you know that you're saved, but you say, "Preacher, I've got a giant in front of me. And I need God to move this mountain. I need God to help me jump over this trial." For every one of us, trials come at different seasons of life, but trials come for everybody. Tonight, lay it down. Or if it's somebody you love, you lay them down at the altar. And you let God bring you to a place of allowing these four gifts to enter your life, even in the midst of what you may be facing. Maybe you're here tonight and God's calling you to join this church. Maybe you're here tonight and God's calling you to become a leader. Maybe you're here tonight and God's calling you to pray for someone you love. This is God's time. Let's stand to our feet. Let's do business with God. Let's come and saturate ourselves before the presence of Jehovah at His holy altar tonight. Let's sing our hearts to the Lord.